As I said earlier, today we celebrate the birth of one of our greatest saints, St. John the Baptist. We might wonder, well, this is kind of odd. Usually we hear more about John the Baptist in the Advent season as we prepare for Christmas. But during the year, we also celebrate little feasts of these special saints, especially John the Baptist, and when they fall on a Sunday, like they did this year, and then we make it part of our Sunday liturgy. And so this is important, because just like in Advent, when we recall that John was the prophet more than any other who prepared the people for the coming of Jesus, we know that it was Jesus who said in the gospel, that there is no greater man than John the Baptist. So when we think of the life of John the Baptist, the first thing that usually comes to mind is that it was John who baptized Jesus in the Jordan River when Jesus was ready to start his ministry. So we can see that the idea and the practice of baptism was nothing new, but existed before Jesus was even born. In fact, baptism in the old Jewish faith was also very common, even though it maybe looked a little bit different than we practiced it today. But it was alive and being practiced in some forms all the way back since the days of Moses. We know that baptism from the Greek means literally washing. And in the old Jewish faith, it was used for converts to the Jewish faith to wash away their Gentile or their heathen status as they came into that faith. But it was also used by the everyday Jewish people to purify themselves before they came to worship on their holy day, their Sabbath, especially in the temple. And especially if they, during the week, had encountered something they considered unclean or impure, like a corpse or someone who had a disease. They had to wash and cleanse themselves before they entered into that holy space to pray. However, John the Baptist, as we know, took the idea of baptism to a whole new, higher, and spiritual level. For John, the idea of baptism was a spiritual cleansing which washed away our sins and was a sign of one's turning away from sin back to living in accordance with God's will. And it was his way of preparing one for following the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world forever if those that follow Jesus desired it. And yet we see it is Jesus who asked to be baptized by a human being, by John himself. Many people throughout the centuries as Christians have wondered why Jesus decided to do this, since he obviously had no sin or impurity of his own that had to be washed away. He didn't even have original sin. But scripture scholars throughout the ages have also pondered this and tried to answer this question too, and they've come up with some pretty good ideas, I think. One was that going under the water when baptized, where one could not breathe or hear or see, actually symbolized death and burial. But in this symbolic rite of baptism, it symbolized death, death to sin. For Jesus, this act of baptism sought to show the people that he was going to be the Lamb of God who would die to take away our sins. Secondly, he did it to remind the people present that God had saved their Jewish ancestors from slavery in Egypt. How? By leading them through the waters of the Red Sea to safety. And so Jesus, entering the waters of the Jordan, was now going to lead his people through death by dying for our sins and leading us to the safety of eternal life. And lastly, Jesus experienced baptism to consecrate the sacramental rite for all future generations. In other words, he was showing us what he wanted us to do by his example, to start out on our Christian journey. For by following Jesus' example and becoming baptized in him, the original sin that we inherit from Adam and Eve is washed away. And the possibility of a life of grace and friendship with God is now open to us, not only in this life, but forever in the next. All we have to do is choose it. And so, when we think of John the Baptist and celebrate his life today, we're hopefully reminded of our own call to holiness through our baptisms in Christ. The church asks us now to imitate John's simplicity in living according to our own vocation and life. The church asks us to imitate his fasting and prayer, and especially his courage in standing up for what is right. All of these things will help prepare us for our own meeting with Jesus at the end of our own lives, as they did for John, and as we seek to enter into eternal life and experience that great joy and peace that God has promised us through Christ for those who love him.